Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Petplan, who are the UK's number one pet insurer. I've always used Petplan for Raymond, as they cover things other insurers don't, and they can even pay your vet directly, which can be a big help. No, Raymond, that doesn't mean you can spend all the extra cash on treats. Terms, conditions and excesses apply. Petplan is a trading name of Allianz Insurance PLC.
Your podcast is more popular than God's.
God doesn't do a podcast.
Well, Gary Lineker hasn't had a conversation with him yet. He's on to it.
Welcome to the all-new weekly Walking the Dog, hosted by me, Emily Dean, and my dog Raymond, the world's most ridiculous-looking shih tzu. We're kicking off our brand new show with a very special guest. He's a political strategist, author, journalist, even plays the bagpipes, and let's face it, podcasting king. It is, of course, the Rest is Politics host, Alistair Campbell. Alistair took me to London's Parliament Hill with his adorable Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, Skye, and we had the best chat about pretty much everything. Now, Alistair wasn't initially sold on Raymond. The actual word he used was bogbrush. I know, none taken. But, you know, sometimes beautiful friendships can grow from unlikely beginnings. I mean, just look at him and Rory Stewart. I really hope you enjoy my chat with Alistair. You can listen to him on The Rest is Politics and do check out his fabulous book, But What Can I Do? I'd also love it if you subscribe to Walking the Dog. I'll stop talking now and hand over to the man himself. Here's Alistair and Skye and Raymond.
Come on then, let's go. Look at her. It's like an old sort of bog brush, isn't it?
I mean, what a way to talk about my dog, Alistair Campbell. Okay, I just need to find a poo bag.
I've got them.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you know, I feel really privileged. I'm using an Alistair Campbell poo bag.
Hold on.
Do you have branded ones?
Yeah, it says Rest is Politics, New European.
Rest is poo.
Rest is Politics, New European, buy my books. Vote Labour, support Burnley, love bagpipes. There you are. Unless it's a podcast, nobody can tell whether that's true or not.
I'm going to pick up this poo because I know one of your great hates is people that don't pick up dog poo.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right.
Man, there's quite a lot of the human stuff around here at the moment as well. Cut. Come on. Right, I'm hoping Ray's going to make her go a bit faster than she came here.
I mean, you can always hope, Alistair.
Has she already performed?
I'm going to put this in the bin. Look, that was the...
I don't want to see it. Just because it's in my branded bag.
Okay, come on, Ray. Right, Skye is on her lead, so do you think I should do the same with...
No, it's up to you, but the only reason is she doesn't like going without both of us. So she's get the first 10 minutes, she's just going to look back for Fiona all the time.
Is she?
Yeah, and eventually I'll let her off the lead and she'll forget. Come on. But I reckon...
Was that like when you first left number 10? Were you doing that about Tony Blair?
No.
Just looking up all the time saying, where's Tony? Oh, do you know, I think Skye and Ray look really good together.
Do you?
Yeah, do you?
They look marvellous. Lovely couple. Skye's, she's not a young five, I have to say. And I think having... So when she was like a puppy, in fact, for the first couple of years, she was absolutely sort of, you couldn't keep your eyes off her because she was just running around everywhere. And now she's like this. She just sort of loves to stop and poke around. She's also quite bored with the heath.
When we first arranged to meet for this walk, I really enjoyed your response, which was, the thing is, Skye is so bored of the heath now.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, and I like it because it suggests that you want to make her life as adventure-filled as possible.
No, well, also, it's like last week we were in... where were we? We were in Scotland. And we found this little forest with a little lake and a little loch. And she just was running... It was like she was a puppy again. She was running all over the place. She was diving into water. So, but here, she just knows it so well. And partly because, you know, during COVID, we literally spent our life tramping around the heath.
Come on, Skye. She's very sweet-natured, Alistair.
Oh, she is, yeah. No, she's really nice. Where are you going, love? She's a bit of a rock star on the heath, to be fair.
So, I suppose I should formally introduce you.
Go on, then.
You don't get that at Wembley Stadium, do you?
What?
Well, Elton John doesn't say, go on, then.
You might do.
So, I could not be more excited. I'm a huge fan of this man. As I'm saying this, he's currently investigating a bush.
Yeah.
I'm with strategist,
yeah,
broadcaster, author, and let's face it, podcaster should be right at the top now.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
It's quite weird, isn't it?
Co-host of The Rest Is Politics.
Now rivaled by The Rest Is Dog Walking. And you Goal Hanger Production. They're taking over the world, aren't they?
Gary wouldn't let me do The Rest Is Dogs. I felt a bit like a sort of Love Island contestant asking if I could go on Question
Time. You wouldn't do The Rest Is Dogs?
He wouldn't let me do Rest Is Dogs.
Why not?
I think it's for serious things.
Yeah, it's, you know, dogs are serious, aren't they?
Do you hear that,
Gary?
If
it was The Rest Is Poo, that'd be... that'd be tricky.
That's Boris Johnson's podcast.
Oh, don't mention Boris Johnson, please. I think one of the reasons I was quite keen to do is I thought I wouldn't have to talk about stuff that I normally talk about.
Oh, Alistair, I don't want to harsh your mellow. Let's pretend I never mentioned him. So, Alistair Campbell, will you introduce me to your dog, formally?
So, Skye, this is Ray. Ray, this is Skye. Emily, this is Skye. I think we've known each other long enough and I can call you M. Skye, this is M. Well, that makes you sound like a spy master.
And Skye is absolutely beautiful, Alistair.
Yeah, she is.
So, how old is she and how long have you had her?
She's five and we've had her since she was just a little puppy. She's quite an old five. She's getting very slow and lethargic. She sleeps a lot during the day. Quite like that, though. I do quite a lot of my work on the sofa. And she comes and just... She's the perfect length for my upper thigh. She just lies against my upper thigh all day long. Snores a lot. I did a radio interview the other day. After a while, the producer came on and said, "Sorry, just for going, is there something weird buzzing noise in your room?" And of course, it was just Skye doing a very gentle, permanent snore. She sort of snores with, you know, most snoring, there are big breaks between it. She just had very little breaks between the snores. She did a, you know, inhale, exhale snoring.
I also like it when Ray sighs like he pays rent. It's like, what have you got to sigh about?
Yeah. Skye doesn't like being bothered. See, at the moment, she'll perk up in a minute, but normally, Fiona always walks her.
This is Fiona Miller, we should say, your partner.
Yeah.
Of 44 years?
Two, I think.
42.
42. 43, maybe. And she... So Skye will... So if both of us go, Skye will go off fine. If one of us goes, it takes her a long time to warm up. She's constantly looking back for the other.
And what flavour is Skye? What breed is she?
Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
I love the curly ears as well. She's so elegant.
Right. Did you see... on our podcast yesterday, I was reading an extract from Rory Stewart's book where he says Jeremy Corbyn has large, beautiful ears. Well, what the hell is that about? So you're saying the same about my dog?
Do you know, that would be really insulting if someone said that to you. If someone said, you know what, you've got really lovely ears.
I think some people... I've never seen a man that I've thought, nice ears. I have with women. Come on,
Ray. So, Alistair, we're here with Skye, obviously. And this isn't your first time at the dog rodeo, because you had a dog prior to this, didn't
Molly.
You?
Same breed.
And she...
But Ruby. Molly was Ruby. And as you can see, this guy's got quite a lot of white on her. We got Molly because Grace, when she was a kid, our daughter, she was obsessed with getting a dog, and I was against it. On the usual thing, that I was absolutely sure that we'd get the dog and then Grace would lose interest, blah, 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 usual story. Now, in fact, to be fair to Grace, she didn't lose interest. However, I think it took a... It was basically Grace's first major campaign. She even at one point, we came back from a week, Fiona and I had been away somewhere, and we came back and Grace had put a post-it note in every drawer in the house saying, Grace wants a dog, get Grace a dog. Grace's life won't be worth living if she doesn't get a dog. She got Tony Blair to tell me that I needed to get her a dog. I think she just said, look, will you tell him I really, really want a dog? Because I think she thought I would do what he told me, which is not always the case. And so eventually we get, I mean, she is very, very, she will sort of just go for it.
I can't imagine where she gets that from.
No, Fiona and Sky probably. come on. So that was Molly, but then of course inevitably, Fiona absolutely fell in love with Molly. I liked Molly, but I wasn't around as much then. So I wasn't as close to Molly as I am to Sky. Molly was Grace's dog, but... Oh, I hate this.
What do you hate?
When the leads get caught. Very annoying. Come on, you have to do the dance of the lead.
And so, you've experienced the thing that I most dread, Alistair, which is that day when you have to say goodbye to a dog.
Yeah.
Was it... It must have been so sad.
Well, it was horrible, but it was also quite... You know, my dad was a vet. So I was very used to being around dying dogs. So I used to go into my dad's surgery and there'd be people sort of... But it seems to me back then it was less of a thing. You went in... Obviously, people would be crying and stuff, but you went in, the vet put the dog down, put it in a bag, waited to come and collect it at the end of the week. That was kind of it. And we did the whole thing. We had this very nice Australian woman came in and did the whole thing. All of us were there. The boys came. So Grace was there, Fiona was there, I was there. The two boys were there, Roy and Callum. And it really was quite emotional. Yeah, it was. It was horrible in a way. But it was also quite nice to see a sort of... The woman did it really, really well. And then Callum took her out to the car and off she went. And then they did the ashes and all that stuff. Yeah, it's pretty horrible. We couldn't, before, when it was obvious she was dying or getting towards the end, we probably kept her alive a bit too long in a way.
Mm.
I think the last few months were pretty miserable. Here we are, they always recognise each other.
Was that another?
That was another, yeah, Cavalier, yeah. They normally stop and have a little chat. Come on, will you move?
I carry Ray like this.
Yeah.
Would you do this with Sky?
No. No, I think that would be... I think once you've decided your dog is like a handbag, it's all over. Look, she's not moving now.
Oh, Scott!
Come on. Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Which is?
I'm doing a podcast called Walking the Dog.
Oh.
But the dog won't walk.
I wonder what the fluffy thing was.
I know. Look, she's just standing there, look.
Are you part of the podcast?
She's the walker.
Oh, and hello. This is the dog. Hello.
That's her
this
dog.
Is Justine.
And that's
hi, Justine.
Dog.
This is Raymond.
Oh, hi, Rick. Where's your dog?
She's by the tree over there.
Oh,
the little
God,
cup.
She really is. Because I was thinking Raymond wasn't doing badly.
No, she won't move.
So that's put a bit of a downer on the podcast.
Well, it's...
Why didn't you have to rename it?
Not walking with the dog.
Come on,
she
Sky.
She's being used for commercial purposes.
I think that's possibly...
Yeah.
I think this is her way of objection.
Objecting.
Her
I think she's right. Yesterday she did a shoot with... I don't know that. She did a photo thing with Grace, where she had to get glammed up and...
Glammed up?
No, there was... she just, you know, Grace...
You mean Grace did all the...
The whole thing, the whole setup was sort of bonkers. She's not moving at all. She's on strike.
We don't want to interrupt the production values of this podcast, so we better move on.
See you.
Yeah.
Okay, see ya.
See you.
Sky, come on.
Come on, Sky.
I'll just put her back in the lead.
Oh, she was nice, Alistair.
That was Mrs. Ed Miliband.
I thought it was.
Did you?
Yeah. Because I had Ed on this podcast.
Who, by the way, may I add, is a... wonderful, successful person in her own right.
Yes.
And a judge.
Yes, I was going to say.
That's how you might know her.
So I want to go back to Alistair Campbell's origin story.
Yeah.
And as you said, your dad was a vet.
Yeah.
And this was in Yorkshire where you grew up, wasn't
yeah.
it? In
yeah.
Keighley?
Keighley, Yorkshire, yeah.
And you're one of four.
Two of us left.
How would you describe your childhood in terms of, I always say when I talk about my family, I say it was sort of benign bohemian chaos.
Okay.
What? How would you describe the sort of dynamic in your household?
If I'm allowed three words like that, Caledonian, very Scottish, very family focused. By that I mean the broader family. So both my parents Scots from quite big families, and we seem to spend a lot of time either, you know, their other family members coming or us going to them in Scotland. And Dad, a vet, very hard working, really cared about his work. Mum decided once Donald and my brother was born, she decided that was it for her. She was going to just look after family. So it was very kind of, what did you say, benign bohemian? I'd say benign non-bohemian.
Mm.
As I say, quite Scottish, small C conservative.
Mm.
There's the men's pond there where I sometimes go. Quite busy, isn't it? No, so an animal's a big part of it. We had a dog called Bisto.
Bisto's a great name.
Yeah, I had a West Highland Terrier. She was really sweet. And then we had another one called Penny, who was a Labrador. Golden Labrador. But my dad was a vet who, we had to leave Yorkshire when I was 10, 11, because he had a very bad accident and gave up his practice and joined the Ministry of Agriculture and became a sort of ministry vet, which was just a bit less stressful.
What was the accident?
He got attacked by a pig. Yeah, he was injecting piglets. This farmer had tied the pig up, the sow up, tethered it, but it broke out and got in and smashed him up against the wall and battered him. So it was all a bit grim. So that's why we left Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And I often think about how different life would have been if we just, because I'm quite weird on the kind of identity front. I feel very Scottish, I feel very northern, but I've never lived in Scotland, as it were, full time. And I've not lived in the north since I was 10, 11. But animals were a massive part of our childhood for obvious reasons. Dad was mainly a big farmer vet, a big animal vet, you know, he loved horses.
Sorry, Alistair, he's got too far behind. I know, he's coming. Look at him, Alistair, look at his little legs.
Well, they are tiny, aren't they? The walking bog brush, here he comes. Justine will be so excited to tell her that I've now reached the point where I'm doing Walking the Dog podcast.
Well, you can tell Justine that Ed did this podcast.
Oh, did he?
Yes. And do you know what Ed Miliband said about my dog when he came on this podcast?
Walking bog brush. Hello.
No, he said, he looks rather like a toupee. Alistair, what do you think of that?
What's the most insulting thing you've said about Ray?
Why would you want to dredge up this pain?
I think walking the bog brush gets better than toupee.
What do you make of Ray, Alistair?
Well, I wouldn't have her. Is that very hurtful?
Do you know that? It really upsets me.
Does it?
Yeah.
But that's because she's too small for me, and that's even though I've got a small dog.
But your
dog's, sorry, he's too small for me. And he's sort of too fluffy, and you can't see his features enough. What I love about Skye is the features.
Do you know what I think this is?
What?
I think you're very competitive.
Yeah.
And I think Ray's had a little bit of attention.
From?
Just the general public.
Oh, no, I don't care about that. I really don't. Honestly, I quite like that. I like it if Skye's being left alone. When she was a puppy, I promise you, we couldn't walk around here without...
Alistair just said he wouldn't have my dog. I'm really upset.
I'm just being honest. I'm just saying, if I was to go into a dog shop and all the dogs in the world were on the shelves... No, your dog's nice. I'm not saying there's anything... Sorry.
No, don't worry.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your dog. If you went into a shop where they sold every dog in the world, would you pick that dog off the shelf?
Possibly not.
Emily.
I would say it was a pleasure. Nice to meet you. Well, he's saying no one would like. He's.
No, I'm not saying nobody.
No, but you're trying to marshal support.
No, you asked.
The taste is totally personal.
Very personal, yeah.
I mean, we've only ever had cockle spaniels.
Oh, yeah. It's personal, all right.
You just wouldn't get it in the dog shop.
There's character in there, though, isn't there? Yorkshire.
You see? Thank you. If you were only allowed a choice between this dog and that dog, which one would you go for?
You've just asked them to choose between them. You see, that is the competitive Alistair Campbell.
See ya.
We disagreed agreeably, me and that gentleman.
Yeah, yeah, whereas you felt I was being unfair. The most important thing about the dog is the relationship with the owner. And you clearly love your dog, so that's good. I love my dog, you love your dog. Everybody's happy.
So, sorry, we'll go back to, you were telling me just about your dad, and you moved to...
Leicester.
Leicester.
Same school as Gary Lineker. I didn't really take to Leicester, but I took to a school. I sort of threw myself into school and music and bagpipes and all that stuff. And also the other thing that happened was that having left the North, that's when I really became quite obsessed with Burnley, and I used to go away a lot and go to games and stuff. Because you could then, you know, I was hitchhiking around the place and... I wasn't unhappy at all, but I just didn't take to Leicester in the way I had to, what I still consider to be sort of, you know, where I came from, as it were.
Were you a sort of popular and extrovert, or were you quiet and studious?
I was quite popular. I was extrovert. I never, ever, ever, ever took my Burnley scarf off at school, ever. Apart from PE. It's a bit sad, isn't it? Well, maybe not. We had a school uniform, and I used to sit in class wearing my Burnley scarf and a blue anorak. But I was quite popular, you know, enough friends.
And you were quite a happy child.
Yeah, yeah. I was very... I've always liked work. I've always liked the sort of challenge of work. I mean, I didn't mind... I knew what I was good at school pretty early on. I knew I was good at words. I knew I was good at languages.
Mm.
I was good at maths, but I went down the... When it came to A-levels, I went down the kind of languages route. And I'm really glad I did that. And then I went to Cambridge. And after that, my parents stayed in Leicester for a bit, but then they moved. They went to Hull. My dad was a vet with the PDSA.
Mm.
After the Ministry of Agriculture, and then they went back to Yorkshire, back to a place near Skipton. I think Yorkshire was where my dad felt, apart from his own, where he came from, in the Hebrides, I think Yorkshire was, well, that's where he wanted his ashes scattered and all that stuff.
You went to Cambridge, was that?
I didn't like that.
Did you not? Why?
I found it, I've never been a very I didn't like the stuffiness of it. I think it's where I first became really conscious of the whole power of the class structure in Britain. You know, the kind of the Yahoos and the all that stuff. I found that difficult. And also, to be absolutely frank, I was, you know, drinking, even by student levels, I'd say drinking way, way, way too much, and just, I presume that was because I was not very happy there. I'm still glad I went. And also that even though I say that I don't like the whole kind of class thing, I mean, the truth is that, you know, when Gillian Keegan said recently, it doesn't matter, nobody remembers what year, what A-levels you did, what qualifications, etc. I mean, while there's some truth in that, there is also, I'm afraid, a lot of truth in the fact that if you've got an Oxbridge degree, it's still a big advantage in life, I'm afraid.
Alistair, what's going on here?
We've got another dog.
It's a Lassie.
Lassie's joined us. Ah, there's the owner.
She's really beautiful.
Yeah.
What's her name?
She's very lovely, Ruffy.
Ruffy, Alistair, this is Ruffy.
I met you at Rachel's place. I'm really Rachel Pinnock, and she's my best busy mate. I'm Libby.
Oh, Libby, how are you?
You probably don't.
That's so weird. We've just met Ed Miliband's wife and now Rachel Kinnock's best mate. I mean, this is like... How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It was too hot. Do you want to get in?
Oh, you're gorgeous. Do you
He's a Shih Tzu. Imperial Shih Tzu. Sky's getting into the water.
That's better. Listen, see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. Nice to meet you.
Now, how is that? That's proper, isn't it?
Oh, Sky, we should say, has just...
found water. We used to get really worried about Sky because she'd dive into places like this. And she once swam into Windermere and chased ducks right across the thing. We were apps, and I was literally, it was in the middle of winter, and I stripped off. I was down to my this to dive in because we were convinced she'd gone. And it's funny, they sort of know when to stop. She suddenly just stopped and turned around and came back.
Sky!
Come on, darling, you want to get out? Come on, Pop. Here you go. There you go. That's better. That's better. Yes, it's better.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Pet Plan, who help keep the nation's dogs happy and healthy. There was so much to think about when I got my dog Raymond. Toilet training, grooming, food, and just how many belly rubs can one woman reasonably be expected to give to a Shih Tzu every day? But one thing I've never had to worry about is paying for veterinary care, because I decided to insure Raymond with Pet Plan, who are the UK's number one pet insurance provider. Oh, don't get jealous, Raymond. Of course you're still my number one. Just a tad on the high maintenance side. Terms, conditions and excesses apply. Pet Plan is a trading name of Allianz Insurance PLC.
Oh my God, look at the physique of these guys.
Look at what?
Look at the physique of these guys. Poh. I used to look like that in the olden days.
You still got it?
Yeah, a 66-year-old version of it. That guy had an 8-pack, didn't he? That was a professional athlete if ever I saw one. What do you think? Whew. Come on, Baba. Up here.
I like it when men do that.
What, take the shirts off?
No.
What?
No, I just mean, I think women are very good at complimenting and they're comfortable with praising each other physically. Right. You know, whereas
I didn't do it to his face.
No, that's true.
I didn't say you look lovely, you've got a lovely physique.
No, but you said it to me, and yeah. I think a lot of men might struggle with that.
Oh, right.
They might see that as...
No, because I think when I see a physique like that, I think of all the work that's got into it. He's an athlete, he's a proper runner, and he... that's what he lives for.
You were saying about Cambridge, yeah, you didn't much...
Yeah, didn't much like it, no.
Do you know I met Jacob Rees-Mogg when he was an undergraduate? And I went to stay with a friend. Yeah. I'll never forget it, Alistair, because I always remembered this boy, Jacob.
What was he like he is now?
Well, she knocked on the door,
mm-hmm.
and it was the most extraordinary thing. I heard a voice saying, come.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, I don't know any students like this.
No, he thought, oh, God.
And then he said to me, he asked where I schooled.
Where I schooled. Where
did I school?
Oh, I can't believe that. Is that the word he used?
I think he might have. And then
they have this thing at you. They call it school. They don't.
Yeah. And then.
A school.
He wanted to know my A-level grades.
Mm-hmm. So you said 3 A's, yeah?
And I said, no, I got 2 A's and a B. And I always remember he said, well, I hope the B wasn't in English.
Oh my God.
Do you know, I never forgot this curious boy.
Yeah, and there he is. Now he's a former member of the cabinet that wrecked the country.
Oh, look, I'm going to put Ray in the stream.
There you go. See?
Were you chippy?
Oh, very, yeah.
Yeah, when you were at Cambridge.
Yeah, way too chippy. Way too into, you know, a bit of aggro. No, oh, look at this. This is the women's pond. Oh. Women only. And look, it's a bloody queue. I should have bought a box load of books and flogged a few books, didn't it? Hey? That is so busy.
So at Cambridge, after you graduated, did you always know you were going to...
No, not at all.
Get into politics?
Going to go on with Walk the Dog podcast, didn't have a clue.
Did you know you were going to go into politics?
No, I wasn't very political back then. If I was anything, I was slightly anti-politics and a bit anarchic. Not anarchic and going around sort of smashing things up, but...
Well, you did headbutt things.
I did, yeah.
You used to headbutt cigarette
doors.
Machines.
Yeah,
and
I did.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. Very silly. Probably to show that I could. I don't know. What a crazy thing to do. I once headbutted a door and I ended up needing stitches above both eyes.
You could do it, but...
I've got this picture of me with this. It was actually the end of term and there was May Ball, another ridiculous institution. And I'm there with this huge, great bandage right around my head. I don't know why I did that. It must have been some sort of anger inside that...
Do you think so?
I think so. It came out in different ways.
Were you quite angry?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Why do you think you were angry?
Because I didn't like... I think... This could be sort of post-facto rationalisation. I think I didn't... I had a real feeling that I didn't like this kind of... structure, this societal structure that Cambridge and Oxford sort of represent. Or doesn't mean to say, by the way, there aren't some amazing people there teaching and studying and all that, but it wasn't for me.
You ended up joining the Mirror Group as a trainee.
Yeah, well, I had a kind of year doing really weird things like roulette dealer, busker. Yeah, it's the only time I've been sacked. Yeah.
Well, you're a good roulette dealer. How do you get that job?
Saw an advert, I was sitting on the tube, saw an advert in the Evening Standard. Hello.
Hello. Oh, I like that. Do you know those Border Terriers, Alistair? I love them. They've got something of the sort of RAF about them, those dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Is that what you do? Do you look at dogs and put them into military categories?
Yeah.
Sky is definitely not special forces.
And so you did your weird jobs, your roulette, and then your brief career writing erotic fiction.
That was previous.
And when you were working for the Mirror in Devon...
Mirror Group, yeah.
That was when you met Fiona.
Correct.
Did you sort of know as soon as you saw her?
No, sort of drifted into it in a way, but very, very quickly.
Yeah.
I think if you'd have said to me then, do you think you'll be together for like 4 decades plus? I'd have said, maybe. If you'd have said to me, do you think Fiona will end up loving the dog so much that the dog will barely walk when we're out without her? I said no, because she wasn't a dog person at all. She had a cat called Kiss Kiss when I first met her. And I'm not really a cat person. No, we were very, very lucky. It was like, I mean, we were really thrown together because we literally was staring at each other across a 2 desks in a porter cabin for the entire training programme.
So were you friends first? Did you get in by stealth and think, oh, I'll be friends?
No, it was pretty full on quite quickly, I'd say. Well, we then got sent to the same local paper together. So five people in the newsroom, we were 2 of them. We found a place to live together, and that was it. And we've sort of been together ever since. Which is very, very lucky. Is that the right way to say it? No. No, I'm very lucky. I beg your pardon. Sorry, I always get that bit wrong in these totally unconfected podcast situations. I'd say we've both done pretty well with each other, but I think I've done better. I think I'm quite difficult to live with.
Why?
Because of my moods, because of my obsessiveness, because of my pathological fear of being bored. I'm quite difficult. We've had a lot of ups and downs, most of them caused by me. But she's pretty amazing. She is a pretty amazing woman. And the dog is now the latest recipient of her tender, loving care. Skye, what are you eating?
I'm interested in how you manage your moods, because you wrote a book, we'll discuss your other book, obviously, but you wrote a book, Living Better.
Yeah.
And I found that so helpful, that book. Good. I loved it.
Good. Do you remember the bit where I was beating myself up physically? I was just over there. Yeah.
Was it just after you'd stopped working
Well,
you'd left Downing Street, essentially. Yeah. It wasn't Tony Blair, it was Gordon Brown by that stage, but...
No, it was still Tony.
Oh, was it? Yeah. You'd left political life, essentially, you'd left that. And you had this sort of...
crash.
And it was here on the Heath, wasn't it? And what happened then?
Well, we were walking literally about just over there, 100 yards away, and I just started punching myself in the face, and the Fiona was standing there looking at me. I've given her some hard time, some sort of bad moments in her life, but as soon as I've seen her actually sort of put her hands on her face and look terrified, and I was just punching myself in the face, and I think what it was about was I just had this, I've been going through this really long depressive episode, and I kind of felt it was never, ever, ever going to stop. And so I don't know what I was doing, but it was a bit of a breakthrough moment though, because as I was doing it, I was, obviously whatever my irrational mind at the time was doing, my rational mind was saying, I've got to see somebody, I've got to sort this out, I can't go on like this. And we went back and I said, I've got to see somebody, I can't. And Philip Gould, who was my closest friend, he recommended this guy who I saw a few days later, and I saw him for years after that. And I still see him every now and then.
I'm interested in how the sort of strategies you use, which are very helpful, and the whole jam jar thing.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of, it was a woman, I did a documentary for the Beeb on depression, and their idea was go around, talk to different people in different parts of the world and try different things to deal with depression, find something new, hey presto, final scene, throw the antidepressants in the bin and walk into the sunset, happy ever after. That was the sort of hope they had. And I said, well, that's never going to happen, but I'm happy to make the film. Went off, and the jam jar, it's not my idea, it was a woman called Janine Austen, she's a Brit living in Canada. And essentially what it is it's a sort of, you have a jam jar. Oh, look, she's off now. So, but essentially what it is you take a jam jar, the bottom of the jam jar, you've got sediment from homemade jam, and that's your genes. That's never going to change, always going to be there. And the rest of the jam jar is your life filling up with billions of experiences and thoughts and ideas and good things and bad things. And her thing was that most of the time, most people are managing just about. But when they don't manage, it's because there's too much going on, jam jar explodes, and you become mentally ill, right?
Mm.
And she said, instead of trying to undo what's inside the jam jar, the past, build on the jam jar to extend it. And so for me, I have a real jam jar on my desk. I have a drawing next to it, which is my jam jar. And so you've got the jam jar there, and then the first thing is FFF. That's Fiona, family, friends. Make sure you work your own relationships, key relationships, and that's hard. But I know for a fact, if we're getting on, my life's better. If the kids are happy, my life's better. If the few people that I would count as very, very close friends are there and I see them as being close, I'm happy. And then I'm onto things like meaningful, the next one is MA, meaningful activity. That's work to make a living, but it's also work to make a difference. Then I go diet, sleep, exercise, music, bagpipes, Burnley Football Club, Skye, my bike, all the different, my books, and then I go thematic, curiosity, creativity, writing. And what happens is that if I'm feeling like I'm, and by the way, it doesn't always work, but if I feel like I'm going into a dive, I get my jam jar out and I just think, okay, I feel like shit, but today I'm going to try and do something that ticks every single one of these. So read a book, not a newspaper, listen to music, not the news, play my bagpipes, write a tune, write something, get in touch with somebody to talk about, you know, a friend you haven't seen for a while or something.
It's interesting as well, isn't it, that your passions, and you've said you're quite obsessive in some ways, you like things absolutely and passionately. And I find it interesting that music and football are both big passions, because both of those things, you have to be completely focused in the moment. You're in the now. They root you in the now.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that allows you to pause your racing mind a bit.
Maybe, maybe. I mean, the thing I say about football, certainly. Come on.
How did Skye get in there?
Oh, that way. Come on.
She's so lovely.
She is. No, Skye's definitely in the jam jar. You see, and you can add to your jam jar.
Would you? I don't think you'd have Ray in your jam jar, though.
No. But if you were in the FFF bit, then your dog's part of that as well. But no, Ray's not coming in the jam jar yet.
When you left, you struggled a bit, didn't you, to sort of adjust to civilian life?
And yeah.
I think it was in your diary, someone had said, you can't just spend the rest of your life being Alistair Campbell.
Yeah, Matthew Freud said that.
I'm not sure I agree with him, though.
No, I'm not sure I do.
If we all sort of agree that it's healthy to prioritise the climb over the summit.
Yeah.
You've done the climb and it was hard work, and now you're at the summit. Surely that's exactly what you should be doing, is being Alistair Campbell.
I mean, what I think he meant by that was, and he was right about this, don't just trade off your past. And I think he also meant, look, you ought to be doing another really big job somewhere, okay? And that's the bit I've decided I don't particularly want to do.
Ah! Alistair, she's doing a poo.
I think it might have been a wee.
Huh?
I think it might have been a wee, but I'll take out my...
I'm not going to split hairs with you.
Yeah, I think it was a wee.
Alistair, what do you think of Peter Mandelson? Do you think I'd like him?
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy a dog walk with him.
What's he like?
Well, he's... Why do you ask that question in such a suspicious way?
Do I sound suspicious?
A little bit.
Well...
I think you quite like him, yeah. He's very funny. He's very charming.
He said of Tony Blair to you that he's...
Ruthless.
Well, did he say something like Tony Blair is selfish but brilliant at not making you think he's selfish?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Is that true?
I don't think he's... I know what Peter means by that. My favourite headline about Tony ever... was in an Australian magazine, and the headline was "Nice Kind of Bastard," and I think what it meant was he's a really nice guy, which he genuinely is. He's a very nice guy. He's properly motivated. He's got decent values, etc. But he knows what he wants, and he's very, very determined. And I think another skill he's got that's incredibly important in politics. He is very good at making people feel good about what they're doing, whereas I look at this lot, I mean, they spend the whole time sort of telling teachers their shit, doctors their shit, you know. That is not the way to motivate people.
Well, he persuaded you to do that job.
He
when
did.
Both your partner Fiona and Neil Kinnock were saying,
don't do it.
I don't think you should do it. And he flew over to interrupt your holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey-ho.
I want to just say to you, I also found it really... We don't have to dwell on this for too long if it's going to make you sad, but I loved what you wrote about your brothers as well.
Oh, yeah.
I lost my sister.
Right.
And it's kind of a weird thing, losing a sibling, because, do you know, Alistair, I don't think a day goes by when I don't think of her.
Oh, no, not at all.
Do you feel that?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think the thing with my older brother in particular, Donald, because he had schizophrenia... And he died, both of them died aged 62. It was a joke in the family that when I was 61, you know, would I get through the next year? They both died aged 62. But with Donald, it was because he had schizophrenia, and 40 years on really, you know, tough antipsychotics, it wears down your immune system. And,
yeah.
But I think about him a lot, in part because he and I learnt the bagpipes together with my dad. They're both now dead, and I still feel, whenever I play the pipes now, I feel a sense of connection. And when Donald died, he was a bit of a hoarder. With my sister and I, when we were clearing out his flat, we found loads of kilts and cap badges and practice chanters and sets of pipes. But he left me in his will. The set of pipes that he really loved, the ones that were the best. Shall I now play? That's the set I play now.
Love the pod.
Thank you. Thank you. You meant mine, not yours.
Alistair Campbell, competitive.
Well, he might have meant yours, but he was looking at me and raised his hand. Funny enough, that happens a lot more than it's happened
far
today, yeah. Yeah. Particularly in yesterday, the day before, I had dinner at the Estonian Embassy. I went to High Street, Kensington, and I walked down to the thing. I had five people saying that in that short distance.
And this, of course, is Rest is Politics.
Oh, that's, do you know what? I thought there's a dog just there. It's Sky. I thought it was a dog. Come on. Come on.
You know, you sound like a terrible absentee father. Oh, it's my child.
Well, like David Cameron, he left his kid in the pub.
Yeah, so the podcast, which has been, I get the sense, even you're surprised by the...
Oh, totally, yeah.
Are you? The level of success.
Totally.
Because it's never been out of the top five, consistently number one. What are we talking downloads-wise now? I've got a fair idea, but...
Well, I don't
want to undersell you here.
No, it's, well into the millions every month. I know that even at the sort of December, which you thought was a bit quieter, was something like 6.5 million or something. And it's really weird how both Rory and I have written these books that are essentially about...
And your book, we should say, is called But What Can I Do?
It is, and his is called Politics on the Edge. And they're both really about how politics is bust. And people have got to understand that before it can get fixed. And we were both working on them before we got together to do the podcast. There's sort of... And what's been great is how many young people listen. When we did the Albert Hall, a third were under 30. I was actually yesterday I was doing a thing at Ditchley with some young candidates, both Labour and Tory, who are going to be first-time candidates at the next election. It was quite interesting because, of course, you know, they weren't young. They weren't that... I didn't notice anybody in their 20s, but certainly some in their 30s. And, you know, you think... For some of them, it's like when I heard Bridget Phillipson the other day talking about hello.
Good morning.
When she was growing up, you know, as a sort of beneficiary of all the things that New Labour did, I thought, no, it's literally a different generation. Mm. So, but I think it's the next generation that's really got to, and that's, you know, that's why I do loads of stuff. I'm actually writing a book at the moment about politics for primary school children, which I'm quite enjoying.
Where do you get your work ethic from?
Well, my dad had it.
Really?
But not in the same way. He had a job, you know, and he had a business. He was a vet. But
you're very driven.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Why do you think that is? Sometimes people are running from something. Sometimes...
Yeah, possibly. I think a lot of it might be... I think it goes back to my jam jar and the meaningful activity bit.
Do you know what, Alistair?
What?
You're very different to how I imagined.
Oh. Why?
Because I'm not frightened of you at all. And I thought you'd be quite frightening.
We're not on a date.
Sorry. There was a lady sitting on a bench who just heard me saying that to Alistair. Someone just overheard that. That was rather awkward.
Wasn't it? You probably got home to just tell her. Oh, well, Campbell's out. I think he must hit this woman. She said, "I'm not frightened of you anymore." Bloody hell!
I think I just all these words that I associate with you.
8-pack.
Well, what are some of the words that people use?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they say competitive.
Yeah, that's fine.
Driven.
Yeah.
Ruthless.
Yeah, maybe ish a bit. Fine. warm, funny, soulful.
If I was your friend, I imagine you'd be in my top three people to call.
It's another one. Stop saying these ridiculous things in front of other people. If I was your friend, she's going to go and sit at that bench and say to the woman, you'll never guess what I just heard. I mean...
No, I'm saying I think you'd be someone who would help a friend in a crisis.
Oh, yeah, I'm quite good at that.
Are you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we have that many friends in the world. But we know who they are, and I think we know when we need to help them, and we know who to call on when we need that help, I think.
What do you think you've learned? You've got three kids.
Yeah.
Rory, Callum and Grace.
Right, yeah.
What have your kids taught you? What have you learned from them? I don't necessarily mean being a parent. I mean from them as individuals.
What have I learned from them? I mean, it goes without saying they've got a better understanding of the modern world than I have. And I find that quite useful. I think they have they're very different, but I think they all have a pretty good take on the world that is, you can see how a lot of it does come from who Fiona and I are and what we believe, but at the same time they've got their own judgments and their own ways of dealing with the world. I mean, I know this is a bit of a sort of cliche, but they do sort of remind you all the time, not in a nasty way, but just by their constant presence in your lives, they remind you that, you know, there's so much, no matter how important it might be along the way, there's so much about professional life that is ephemeral, but this stuff is kind of forever. You know, it's like when we talked about Molly dying, you know, the only people who were there were me, Fiona and the kids, that's it. So those kind of really big moments of life and death, they matter. And I also, you know, I think I also know, look, families have changed so much because of geography, the fact we're more dispersed and what have you, but our kids all live near us, see them pretty often.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember when I was at university, or when I had a year in Nice as a student, for example, my parents came out to see me for a few days. But apart from that, I probably wrote to them every few weeks, phone them once a month, you know. I remember at Cambridge, they used to, you know, reverse charge call and call me back once every Sunday. Mm. That was it. Whereas now, I think you've got this constant sense of connectedness. Funny enough, Rory, my oldest son, when the whole kind of Zuckerberg thing first took off, and social media, etc. And I was kind of quite excited by it because I thought it'd break down the kind of monopoly of the old-fashioned media oligarchs. And I remember always saying, this thing's going to ruin the world. This thing's going to destroy the world. And I didn't really understand it, but, you know. So I think it's just their different take on certain things.
Yeah, they offer you
one specific thing, Grace has definitely made me think about the whole kind of feminist stuff differently.
Alistair, where do you stand when it comes to dogs on the bed? Does Skye sleep with you and Fiona?
Yes. She's quite inobtrusive, though. She sort of jumps on, she sort of lies on the edge of the bed. When she was a puppy, she used to wake me up every morning with literally just... And she said, you know what, the other thing I'll say about Skye, she knows when I'm depressed, 100%. She sort of comes up and lies on the pillow in the morning. She knows. And on the sofa as well. If I'm sitting on the sofa and just a bit, she knows what I'm feeling. She just comes in and she sort of just sits there. Yeah.
Do you think it's good for your mental health?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I know this is projecting yourself onto your dog, but I sometimes worry she gets depressed. I sometimes worry she's really low.
Alistair, I completely feel that as well about Ray. Like when I'm crying, and he licks my tears really manically.
Aww.
But then I think, is he absorbing all this
angst.
Pain?
Yeah. Hello, you all right?
I love your podcast.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
Thank you very much. I didn't even say it to you. I didn't even say. Should I tell him more about hers?
Alistair.
What?
Remind me never to play a board game at your house.
So basically...
What's Monopoly like?
Sky is more popular than Ray. And my podcast is more popular than yours.
Your podcast is more popular than God's.
God doesn't do a podcast.
Well, Gary Lineker hasn't had a conversation with him yet. He's on to it. Do you think it's made you calmer, more restrained, the podcast?
What, the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Hello? Have you got to go around to QuickFit? Oh, fine. Yeah, fine. We'll be back in 10 minutes. Yeah. Bye.
Come on.
Right, I'm under orders now. Sky.
Come on, Sky. What thing do you most hope people would say about you when you walked out of a room?
Don't care. I honestly don't care.
Do you not?
Not really, no.
I think that's quite a superpower.
I don't really care.
Grace always says that something she really admires in you is that your ability to sort of park all that stuff, you know, that concern over what other people think.
You're right. I wouldn't want them to think, God, he's a real twat, or, you know, I wouldn't, I don't mind if they sort of think, oh, he seems all right, or whatever, but, hello. Do you like her dog?
What?
Do you like her dog?
Do I like her dog?
Yeah.
I love her dog.
Do you think my dog's better? Yeah, that's a yeah. Perfect, thank you.
Sorry, Emily, but I love your dog too.
It's a rout.
Alistair Campbell, how competitive are you?
It's a rout.
So, okay, what do you most hope people would say when you leave the room?
No, I honestly don't care. It depends what it is. If I was talking in a school, and I walked out, if the kids all said, oh, that was quite interesting, that'd be good. If I was at a place where I was trying to persuade somebody to hand over a large cheque to a mental health charity, and they wrote the cheque out, I think that's good. But if it's sort of some, you know, chattering class event somewhere where I don't care, why should you care? It's like, I don't care what somebody says on social media. Why would I care about somebody just sort of, you know, you bump into randomly at some do or other?
Look at that big old one.
You're him.
No, he's young. Just talk about you.
Come on, I know Alistair's under orders. Yeah. I nearly went Ali.
Sky. The only people who are allowed to call me, the only people who call me Ali and it doesn't annoy me.
Yeah.
Fiona, my mum, my sister, my brothers who are now dead, some members of other members of the family. Tony calls me Ali. Some of the team at number 10 called me Ali. That's about it. I quite like my name, actually.
Were you quite a good boss?
Very. You see, I cared what they thought. I wanted them to think I was good to work for. I wanted them to think I knew what I was doing.
The one thing that I think you perhaps struggle with is praise.
Yeah.
I don't get the feeling you kind of know how to accept praise.
Yeah.
Would that be right?
Something in that, yeah. I just think a lot of it's a bit otiose. Also, I don't...
Hello.
I was watching the Tyson Fury series the other night. Have you seen it?
I am obsessed. Isn't it great, Alistair?
Well, I'm only halfway through, but you know when he goes to the Isle of Man?
Oh, I know when he goes to the Isle of Man.
And all his fans. And he comes off the stage and he's absolutely, you can see he's absolutely buzzing, right? And people are saying that was fantastic. I don't get that. When we did the Albert Hall, I think the team were really disappointed with the goal hanger guys because we came off and it had gone really, really well. And I just, as soon as I've done it, I'm kind of on to the next thing. So, no, you're right. I don't really like... I'll tell you what I don't. Somebody saying to me, like you just said, I really like your book, I find it helpful. I like that, right? But does that mean more or less than the fact that it went to number one? You know? Not sure. I do with the Living Better book, to be fair, I get a lot of people saying it's helped them with their depression. So that does, I do like that. Like recently when we were in France, where it's the exception rather than the rule that people will recognise you. right? Sometimes I absolutely love that. And other times I think, this is a bit weird. Mm. You know, maybe I do miss that a bit. But honestly, it doesn't... I think it's more important what you're well known for.
Yeah. Well, my dad used to always say to me, I mean, he died before that culture had exploded, but he used to say, the trouble is now, people don't want to do, they want to be.
Mm.
And I think there's some truth in that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I, you know, I wouldn't want to be known because I was on some sort of, you know, I mean, it's possible to go on to something like Love Island and come off it and change the world in a positive way. It's possible.
Oh, is that what you're going to do then?
No, I'm not.
Hello.
Hello.
What a lovely pug.
Oh, thank you. Oh, hello. You put one onto your arm. I thought that was a handbag.
Which do you think is a better looking dog, that one or that one?
The eyes are good. I quite like the Wookiee.
I did that for you, Emily. I thought you've got to get one vote.
Alistair.
Because I was so far ahead.
You will keep on and on and on.
Yeah.
Until you get the result you want.
Well, I invented this new word in, but what can I do? Persevilience. I've definitely got that. And Grace is, the kids have got that as well. I mean, Grace has got it in spades. I remember once when she was really upset by a terrible review. And I said, so what's the point of worrying about it? And it turned out the guy went to Eton. So some Etonian twat is probably jealous of the fact that you're making people laugh and you're selling out in Edinburgh. So he decides he has to do that. Partly because he doesn't like you for whatever reason, partly because I'm your dad, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit? And the next night that she did the show was the best I'd ever seen her. So that's perseverance.
Oh, Alistair, well, we're getting to Campbell Miller Towers now.
We are.
And I've really loved our walk.
Good. Well, do you want to come and see if she's in? I think I don't have a key, so she better be.
I just wanted to say hello.
That was a struggle.
This is Raymond.
That was a struggle.
Yeah, Alistair, Fiona, but he's been so competitive the whole time. He's been all stopping people, saying, which dog do you prefer?
Which, has she been in the water?
A little bit.
I hope we get to meet when we've got more time to talk.
See you soon. Alistair, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Pleasure. Loved every second of it. We didn't meet. I was hoping we might, you know. Ricky Gervais is often wandering around. He loves animals. Loves them.
Well,
he might like Ray.
I got Alistair Campbell. That's enough for me. I'm really happy with what I've got.
Good.
Alistair, I really loved meeting you. And yeah. I love Sky. And I hope that Ray and Sky can become playmates.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll see.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode of Walking the Dog. We'd love it if you subscribed and do join us next time on Walking the Dog, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.